Welcome to Sweeping the Country. I'm your host, Derek Walker. This is Jimmy Carter. Hey, Jimmy.
Oh, you know, I don't want to talk about tariffs, so we're not.
Okay, skip it.
This is a tariff-free zone.
Okay.
You know, it's a subject that has really been going on for a lot of years.
Yeah.
And nobody's had the nerve to fool with it. Not anybody.
That's a fact.
Every president has been on record saying that, you know, we're not being treated fair in trade. Everything after World War II.
Yep.
Somehow everybody, you know, that we saved their ass turned on us on the trades. And we just let it go. You know, we just let it go. Let it go. And then when we got into the Clinton administration after Nixon and all these folks, we really got into the cheap China thing. And I remember, you know, right, it all kind of goes around the same time of computing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there were the airlines, for example. I flew a lot in the 80s. Mm-hmm. I flew hundreds of thousands of miles, millions of miles.
Oh, yeah.
In the 80s and 90s. And back then, they had to process a lot of things by hand. There was a very intensive labor for dealing with reconciling tickets for airlines. Remember, you had a hard ticket.
Oh, yeah.
And that old thing had all kinds of carbon copies of
one
that.
One for this,
and
one for
that.
And
their accounting department, it was such a, you know, labyrinth thing. They eventually sent it out of the United States to Jamaica.
Mm-hmm.
And they were in some warehouse in Jamaica going through, you know, bundles and bundles of these tickets to be able to reconcile these things.
That's right.
And, you know, and then we saw things like there was a sock plant that was in Montgomery, Alabama, small, but I knew a woman, I went to school with a girl whose mama worked there.
Mm-hmm.
And they were sewing all day long, doing something with socks. But they closed that place down, and the sock plant moved to Jamaica. There was a time there in the 70s and 80s where even in the late 60s, where things were starting to leave the country. The steel mills were starting to leave and go away after World War II in Birmingham and in Pittsburgh for pollution, but they went. You know, Germany had these brand new steel mills that we built after the war. Japan had brand new steel mills that we built after the war, and we didn't rebuild our own steel mills. So we just bought cheap steel from other people and put our people out of business. And you can go through that and just all the different things you want to. So you've got history. You've got people wanting cheaper stuff. Sam Walton, when the great Walmart stores opened, if anybody can remember that far back, Sam Walton was completely about that store being everything in it came from America. It was American.
I do. I don't even remember
when that was a big deal. That was their motto. That was their thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then I guess Sam died and the family took over and they said, well, we got to get cheaper goods, you know, in here somehow. I don't remember how that turn happened, but they started working out all these. Remember when Kathy Lee got in trouble because she was making clothes in some sweatshop somewhere?
Yes, was it Korea
in the Far
or
East?
Something like that?
It was like Thailand or somewhere like that.
I remember.
That was just the tip of the iceberg.
Yeah.
All these things started to go over to the Far East because we couldn't do it in the United States because we got rid of slave labor in the 1800s.
You're right on, by the way.
We got rid of child labor
in
the early 1900s, and so all these
other
things just kind of went over there. Now, somewhere, China, remember, was our friend at the end of World War II. In fact, that's where some of our, you know, that Japan and China didn't like each other, and China helped us, and they took some land after Japan gave it up, but in the war. But somewhere in there, it got screwed around because communism came along, and Russia just never grew because of that, but everything else did.
Mm-hmm.
And then somewhere India, you know, grew up and started making all this stuff. So now we want to be all American made, which I think is impossible. And I think it's not even, we can't do it because we don't have the people that can work in these shops like they do in Vietnam, where they make Nike shoes, in Honduras, where my latest pack of underwear T-shirts came from.
Oh, really?
Honduras. Huh. Some shirts from Brooks Brothers came from Vietnam. I don't think they're as good, honestly, as the... I can tell the difference in the Brooks Brothers shirts from the Far East, mm-hmm. and the Brooks Brothers shirts that were made in the United States. You can just tell. It's just something. It's a feel. It's something about that.
Is there a point, though, Jimmy? Is there a point? Now, I just paid $395 for coffee maker. Now, okay. before you get mad at me about it, it makes the best coffee I've ever had in my life.
Okay.
And I think it's worth it because it keeps me from going to the fancy coffee places and paying $5 cool. a cup, right? So mm-hmm. instead, I'm paying $2 a cup. It's 100% American made.
Oh, really?
And it went into my thought when I was buying it. And I could have bought cheaper. I could have bought, obviously, Italy makes some great coffee makers, but they're not cheap either. Yeah. I could have bought something that was made in China or wherever in the Middle East for about one-third the cost. And I decided not only did I want good coffee, and I think they'll all make good coffee, but I wanted to support the United okay. States. So what I did is I amortized my coffee pot over 5-year period instead of every 2 years when I buy a coffee pot every 2 years. So if I buy one every 2 years, I would have to buy 2.5 to 1, which would put me about $300. So I paid a little bit more if I can keep this for 5 years, and it works for 5 years, for an American-made coffee pot. And I'm happy, and I'm willing to pay a little more for the American goods.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think everybody can do that.
Yeah.
And that's where all these things hurt people.
Okay, fair. That's
the
fair.
People on the upper middle class and above can do all kinds of things. They're not going to stop buying Mercedes mm-hmm. or stop buying the Apple iPhone if it costs $350 more.
Right, yeah.
If it's time for me to buy an iPhone, I'm just going to have to pay $350 more.
Yeah, that's the way it is. Yeah,
so, I mean, it's the way it is on something like that. But when we're talking about other things, that's why they got Walmart was so successful, because they had lower price stuff. Some of the quality was lower, but people were at least able to afford certain
okay.
things.
Okay, so that brings me to the next thing. I'm not of the size bank account that I should have a $400 coffee maker. I don't want anybody to think that. I just chose to give up some other things so that I could have that. So is there a
point?
Well,
you like your coffee. So, I mean,
this
is
important to me.
I save all that money because
you don't drink coffee. Yeah, you save a ton.
You know, so I'm saving a bunch of money. I'm looking right here at my – do you see my stapler?
I do see that. Yeah, Stanley.
I looked on
That's
the bottom
a Stanley,
of it,
isn't it?
And it's pretty – it's a little older. It's probably – I don't know. This has been around a while. Made in Taiwan.
Oh, man.
There's nothing that's made
in
the United States.
Hang on, I'm going to my stapler. Hang on. I'll be right back.
All right. Let's see where your stapler is made. My iPhone is made in China. There's your stapler. Go on the bottom of it.
This is a slim one.
You might have to get a magnifying glass.
Hey, I'm not that old. Come on, just a second.
I had to. I couldn't read that little bitty. There he is. There we go. I bet my glass didn't have a label on where it was from, so I don't know.
Oh, God, you do need to swing line. Oh, Jimmy.
China.
Lincolnshire, Illinois. Wait.
No.
Made in Mexico.
Okay. Dang it. Yeah. It was the people that, the company is Illinois, but they make it in Mexico.
These could be Chinese parts assembled in Mexico. We don't know.
Could be.
How do we know?
Could be. You know, I don't know. Yeah. So there's just a lot of things that I just worry about. You know, I've said this. Well, number one, I'm really still worried, and I don't want to get off on that subject particularly, but I don't have my complete faith in Robert Kennedy Jr., but that's a...
I know. You've talked about
it. I just don't. He makes me real nervous. I'm not worried about the fluoride going out of the water because I don't drink water.
Yeah.
On there. Where is it made?
China.
I don't drink water. I only drink bottled water.
Yeah. Which is bad for you. It's got plastic, they say.
They say that's true.
I drink it too.
But I got to die from something. But, you know, the street water, I just don't drink pond water.
Do you drink out of the hose, the garden hose?
I don't do that. I don't drink out of the toilet or drink out of the sink.
All right.
I mean, I brush my teeth with sink water. You know, I do that.
Yeah, okay,
And, you know, at this age, I don't need to worry about fluoride in the water. But where that – and I know a lot of kids don't drink. They drink water out of a processed thing, you know. They're drinking out of a water bottle. So, A, that's got plastics in it. And, B, again, the poor people, They can't afford to be doing all that stuff, drinking bottled water and everything. They're drinking out of the tap, and the fluoride helps their teeth. It's been a proven, you know, they say it does this, it does that. Everything does something.
Yeah, you're right.
And I think the poor people, you know, the people that can't afford bottled water, young people, kids that aren't brushing their teeth good, maybe that helps a lot of them, and I think it has over the years. But it's just, I just think a lot of these things hurt people that are low income, and, you know, it's just, I don't know. It just feels like there's a lot of it. I do, and I'm not a bleeding heart Democrat, but I do think you can't just throw people that are poor out with the bathwater. And you got to take care of some of them. The homeless people, I've always thought, was just the most ridiculous thing in the world for this country. Mm-hmm. I don't know where they're supposed to go, but people who are crazy should be kept in a place that's where crazy people are.
Well, we've talked about that time.
And they did away with all that, so they put them out on
health.
The street.
Yeah.
And that's nuts. I think that's just bad. And veterans, people who we've sent overseas, and they've done a war duty, and they come back, and they've either got, like my brother, that mental health thing that he had, what do you call it?
PTSD.
PTSD that's real, mm-hmm. You know, and they end up out on the street or something. That shouldn't happen.
No, you're right.
See, I don't think we can afford to help all those people, so I really think that's why we don't. And then why Biden and them let all those people in this country has got to really get figured out at some point, because no one, even at this point, whistleblower, hasn't said why they let so many millions of people. Was it to put them on the government dole so we think they would vote Democrat to increase the voting of the Democratic Party?
I can't believe
that ever in some kind of thing written down? I'd like to see that.
I would too, I find that such a blazing move, if it is, to just say.
But hey, I think it is. But I think that's what they were doing, because there can't be any other
unreal.
Reason.
It's unreal.
I mean, I know. I was told people the reason why some of that went on early on in California, mm-hmm. and in Arizona,
yeah.
because there were not enough maids to make the beds in Las Vegas.
Again,
there were not enough people that would do the work, so they had to get people that were from, you know, from, say, Mexico, that wanted a job. Same thing with Nashville. They could not. Mm. They had the big Opryland Hotel. There were not enough people that could do cleanup in Nashville, so they had to hire a person who recruited people to fly them up here from Puerto Rico.
Wow.
Because Puerto Rico is part of our country, so there's no limit on bringing people in from Puerto Rico.
Fascinating.
They flew all these people in, bought an old motel, kept them there pretty much like the company store, like the old days of the coal mine, mm-hmm. where you lived in, or the steel workers, you lived in a company town, you had company provided housing, and they did that. And the bus picked them up to go to work, mm-hmm. for their 8 or 10 hours a day, and then take them back to their hotel where they lived.
I mean,
they needed these workers, so that's why they let so many of them in. They've always let workers in that did agriculture. That's gone on forever.
Well, that and the hospitality industry, which you're talking about right now. I used to work when I was a lot younger at a ski resort. And at those kind of places, it's the same problem. You can't get people to work for 8 months, 6 months out of the year and just make $10 an hour or whatever, unless you provide them with something. Daycare, lodging, food.
Right. Same way Panama City. They brought young people in from Europe in some cases.
Yeah, yeah. I've seen
provided
that. Yeah.
them housing.
Yeah.
You know, like ski resorts, I guess they could have done that.
Yeah.
Brought people in from Europe and
let them do a working
kind of stay.
Yeah.
Where they work at a beach resort or that, you know, so I understand all those kinds of immigration,
mm-hmm.
but then letting the door open and just letting everything in wild with no controls, that got out of control and nobody tried to fix it.
It almost, and this is a terrible thing to say, but I'm going to say it anyway. It almost feels sleazy. Like it almost feels like designed to destroy, you know what I mean?
It's just the need for being powerful, the need to stay in control.
Okay, fair.
You're watching the Democrat people right now. They're screaming and hollering, and they have finally, Trump has done this for them. They had no issue. They had no leadership at all for the last couple of months.
Mm-hmm.
And now he is done this tariff thing, which I understand why he did it. I'll get to that.
Wait a minute. But, I thought this was a tariff-free zone today.
Yeah, but I'm not going to get into tariffs. I'm just saying that he did the tariffs.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
So that's why they have an issue now.
Yeah.
Because all these people have the market's gone down 10,000 points, and all these folks who had 401ks, they're doing the thing called, now they're called 201ks. And,
sorry,
you know, the market was artificially high. We probably have already said that in a long ago. It had no business going up to 48,000. It was all based on these chip companies and some of that. It wasn't based on real. And it's just like this housing market. I don't know how it calms down where people can afford housing, but to have a house that was, I mean, it's always gone up.
You know, it's a great investment. Yeah.
See, a house that was $160,000, you know, in 1968 sold for about double that in like 1970 or 78. Maybe 10 or 15 years later, it doubled in price. But now these houses that were $225,000 in 2000 have doubled in price.
Well, let me tell you.
In that 25
years. I sold a house in 2020, right in the middle of COVID. And I remember this because the people didn't even come to the house. They just did it on video. Hmm. And they were from California, and they looked at it in the video, and they said, yeah, we'll take it. In 5 years, right now, the house they bought for me has gone up $200,000.
Hmm.
That's 5 years. I paid around that for it, and I made money on it when I sold it, and then it went up again. So it's such a...
But remember, you can't... if they had to... Okay, they made that money, but they couldn't buy the equivalent.
No.
Because it's gone up, you know, some ridiculous amount.
I can't buy that house back. I can't afford it.
Yeah.
I can't buy the house I sold 5 years ago.
All this, the economy is kind of all... screwed up.
Now, you got to put on top of that, you got to put the, we talked about this prior to doing this podcast, but you look at some of the jobs now, not all, but some of the jobs where you're highly educated, trained skill, degree, whatever it is that gets you that job, right? Those are now six-figure jobs. In my whole life, the only way I made it six figures at any time was investing. I never made it from a job. Radio. The radio business isn't known for paying huge salaries.
It's going to be interesting to see where all this shocks out because
you've
got a group of young people who can't afford their first home. There's just no way.
There is no
such a thing as affordable housing, any metropolitan area of the country. Maybe when you get out west in a few places, maybe. But the West has so many other problems with lack of water, you know, and infrastructure and things like that, that, you know, it's just...
We are out West. I'll say we're out West. We're close enough. We have a perpetual road closure repair schedule. It's never going to end. The growth has been so... exponential. They can't make the roads fast enough to handle the growth.
They also can't make the power supply fast
there's
enough.
That the water supply, the sewage,
and the water sewage and the water, they ain't making no more water. So they didn't have, I think they had 70 or 80, maybe 80 something percent of the snow they needed this year.
Right. And keep in mind,
for the runoff,
where I am right now as we speak, Meta is finishing up a brand new state-of-the-art distribution center about 10 miles from my house that is going to use a lot of water just to process. So I don't know what the plan is.
Meta?
Meta, yeah, Facebook.
Facebook?
Yeah.
What are they making? That,
I have no idea. I guess
you mean the servers?
The processing, yeah.
The servers, with
artificial intelligence. They burn through the water.
Yeah, they're talking about making little either small nuclear reactors.
They got to do something.
Those kind of places, or they're going to use some kind of way of clean coal, and to power something, because all these AI farms and all that stuff, there's not enough power.
And then
these fights that we're having that are stupid, you know, between Canada and everywhere else. I mean, we just can't do all this by ourselves. Maybe that's what Trump keeps saying. But again, I think it's a negotiating point because he knows we can't ever build enough whatevers to equal what we get from Canada. I mean, power and a few other things particularly. And we need them for security. It's a buffer.
It's a nice buffer. Yeah, it is.
And it's just why, but here's why he had to do it. And I've said this and I believe it. And it's just act it out and watch. He had to do everything he wanted to do in the first 6 months.
You said that when he got elected, you said he has a short window.
I'm telling you, that's what he's going on right now. He's got so many things going on. Mm-hmm. All these things might have needed to be done, could have been done with maybe a little more finesse, you know, with things. But finesse hasn't seemed to work with Mexico trying to get them to do right.
Yeah, yeah.
With the border trying to help us on that, not really. And with the drug situation and all that other stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then we've got, you know, Canada, we're not letting certain things, you know, not selling this, not letting us sell this. They even got their own problems within the within like Alberta and the other provinces. They got tariffs on each other up there.
Oh, they're, really?
They're not free traders particularly. So all this stuff needs to get worked out. And believe me, if you look at the stock markets, and I've seen a couple of charts from around the world, they all dived. It's not just us.
Yeah.
It's not like they're all zooming up and everything else. No, everything is down. This has got everybody on their back because we are the big daddy. And when big daddy is down, everybody's down.
Yeah, I think that's accurate. I think
because we got
accurate.
The money, you know, and yes, China's helped themselves by, you know, they don't need us as much as they once did because they're all into South America and they're, you know, they're all into some other places, but mostly in South America. They're selling all those cars now, the electric car that the one of the reasons that Trump had to get this going, the electric cars from China are really cheap and they're pretty good, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And so they were getting everywhere. They're going all over the place. They're all into Australia. They're into Mexico. And a nice percentage in those continents or countries are buying those Chinese electric cars. So, you know, they couldn't let that get a hold and become even a bigger deal.
Yeah,
so,
and I mean, honestly, we are one of the, if not the largest consuming nations on earth. So,
oh, yeah.
So to have the account, let's say, of the United States and be selling a product to us is massive. It's massive, which gives us a lot of leverage. I mean, it really does give us a lot of leverage. We consume a lot of stuff. Should we? I don't know, but we do.
But you look at these economies of these countries and, you know, Iran's economy, I understand, is a mess.
Mm-hmm.
I think Russia's is still a mess.
Oh, yeah.
The whole Ukraine-Russia thing, I mean, Putin is just blowing the hell out of Ukraine every day.
Yeah, that's just
so
a money pit.
I know
pit.
That they're mad about that. They're upset about that at the White House, but I think they're trying to figure out what to do. But they've got, you know, they're like an octopus. They've got all hands juggling in the air on all these subjects, and they've got to work themselves out. You know,
Don't you feel like, I mean, you've been around a little bit longer than I have, but not a lot. But don't you feel like since we've been alive that we've had our hands in all this stuff? I mean, I feel like we just have had our – we try to help. We try to do the right thing, but there's only so much in the Department of Resources.
Well, we had World War II. It was a war of the world.
Yeah.
South America wasn't really a part of it, and I guess Africa, North Africa was a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Australia certainly was. You know, but we had a world war.
Yeah.
Now, we helped rebuild the people that we were warring against. Japan is one of our number one people that we get along with, and I think there's some tariff fights going on, but that's going to get worked out.
Yeah, sure it is.
We're going to get that worked out pretty soon, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And then with Europe, you know, we've pulled France's butt out of, you know, they'd be speaking German today if we weren't, you know,
sure.
Given our treasure, you know, to them. And they remember that some of the time.
Mm-hmm.
And then some of the time they don't, particularly some younger ones. So Europe's a problem with, and they've screwed themselves so badly with their immigration, particularly Scandinavia. They got so many problems with people coming from the Middle East unabashed.
Oh, I've seen that,
up there.
Yeah,
Norway, Sweden, they've screwed that place up with that. London's pretty screwed up with it. You know, because in Paris, I don't know if they've ever stopped. I don't know where they currently are on all that, but hopefully they've stopped it to some degree. Mm-hmm. You know, and it's just, you just got so many things. We don't even talk about some of the big things going on in the world. There's a whole lot of people worried about South America, mm-hmm. of what's become of Colombia and Venezuela.
Right.
And what and how Chile has gotten all in up on the in with the Chinese and some of these other countries down there. And then you've got Africa that's got all kinds of stirred up stuff going on down there. And we've got, you know, Africa Command. We actually have one of the great, our big military commands is in Africa.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's all kinds of Al-Qaeda in Africa and everything else. Nobody covers this.
Yeah.
You know, nobody, because they don't have time and they just, they can't get the American people to care mm-hmm. about those things.
Yeah, you're right. You're right.
They just can't get people, but it's a big deal and it affects the rest of the world.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, this protectionist stuff where, you know, we don't, let's think about just us. It's a big world. You can't really do that anymore. That cat's out of the box.
Right.
You can't just think about just us. If you build a wall around us, then you're going to have the rest of the world taken over by Russia and China.
Sure.
You want to deal with that? No, you don't want to have to deal with that.
Mm-hmm.
So you've got to kind of get out there. And lot of people just don't understand that because we don't have a great educational system that teaches some of this stuff now.
No,
and
you're right.
And we've talked about the media. I watched ABC the other night, and it was the measles report was a corrupt report from that reporter, just corrupt, because it made a point of, you know, they were definitely going after Kennedy for not being 100% out there beating the drum really loud to get vaccines.
Yeah.
But they also made a big point of they brought in something else, something from COVID, and, you know, which had not really anything to do with what they were talking about. Yeah. But it was a chance just to beat up on them, you know, for something. And this just, they're all the wounded Democrats, and that's particularly a lot of the Northeast media for sure.
Mm-hmm.
They're wounded, and a wounded animal is always dangerous. And they've been down, but they're a cat with nine lives, and they're showing some life again because the door has been open. When you lose that much money in the stock market,
sure,
maybe it comes back. Maybe it doesn't come back for a long time, you know, for someone who's 65. I hope it does.
That's the thing.
I hope it bottoms out this week and the tariffs, you know, get fixed. And mm-hmm. maybe in a month or two, if people don't try to panic sell or do something, then it'll come back up because – I mean, I think the reasons where a lot of it was good is still good.
I don't think that the average American, which probably owns about 5% of the stock market, right? Maybe 10%. I mean, the wealthy people pretty much run that show. I don't think any of us, if we were invested heavily in the stock market, I don't think we're doing anything with our 401k. We're just leaving it in there because there's no point in taking it out. So who are we mad at? The people that are bailing out? Who's bailing out? Who are the rich people that are pulling the plug on this thing and saying, oh, we're getting out of this? You know, I mean, I don't understand any of that. And I haven't understood the stock market for a long time. I've felt like it's basically going to Vegas. I mean, that's how I've felt forever. Let's bet on red, you know, with $500. And, you know, I can't remember when I don't even think I've ever been taught by my father, my grandfather, that it was a safety net. I mean, it's the only thing
I ever heard was something like AT&T was a great deal because it had good dividends.
Yeah,
and
sure.
It was better than putting it in a bank for a savings account.
There you go. Yeah.
And if you did invest in something like AT&T years ago,
when it split,
you made money and you know, you have done very well, but there aren't that many AT&Ts out there necessarily.
No, they're ChatGPTs or AIs.
I mean, there's a lot of these people have put in money, a lot of mutual funds and all those things are real heavy into Apple.
Mm-hmm. Which has been a solid performer for a long time.
And it will again.
Yeah,
but
sure.
it's taken monster hits.
But it is not without risk ever. I mean, if we had anything that was risk-free, we'd all be invested in that.
Because they make their money on the dips and dives, you know.
Sure, they do.
And that's when right now I heard a guy today, mm-hmm. one of the big brokers. Yeah, we're buying now.
Buy the dip, man. I've heard that.
Because they're on the big dip.
Yeah,
and it may go down a little bit more, but it ain't going to go down 10,000 points
right.
more.
Right.
So companies that were good and strong before are going to be good and strong again. But yeah. you got to identify what those are. Like, I think Apple and I think Tesla is going to come out of this in the long run, because they seem to really be building, you know, a quality product for the most part. And how it can pour, I guess that's one of the craziest political stories of all time.
How
it can be the poster child for the Democrats,
and then in six months
it rotates over and it's wild. Devil, you know?
Yeah, it's wild. I mean, you showed support for the Green America and bought the green cars, and then as soon as he started trying to help everyone,
now you're trying to paint them and tear them up and scratch them,
right,
and go to jail for it, and go to jail
what
for it.
The hell? Sorry, but what in the world is going on with that? I don't know. But yeah, it's
really
wild.
Let me just read you a couple of headlines of things that are not getting covered today.
Okay.
Because everybody is obsessed with the markets, okay?
Oh, yeah.
There was a roof collapse at a nightclub.
Oh.
I think it's killed 40-something people in the Dominican Republic. So that's just a little aside story.
Yeah.
But on the bigger things that are going on, the cartels have attacked a drug rehab clinic in Mexico. Mm. 9 people are dead from that.
Oh, jeez.
That was one of the bigger. Then there's something, let's see. Well, there's another one here. Byron Donalds tries to reason. Say, Jesse, well, no, Pete Hegseth arrives in Panama, so we've obviously got something else going on, you know, in Panama down there, back to the Panama Canal issue. Haven't seen the Greenland thing lately. I just don't know. I don't doubt that we all needed to do something about all these things. I just think they did it like a bull in a china shop.
Yeah, okay.
The bull needed to go through the china shop, but he didn't dance there. He didn't need to be fed and dance there where he's just wagging his tail and all goes to China and all goes this and all goes that.
Okay, yeah, yeah. But, you know that's his style. You know that.
And then the hypocrisy. AOC flies first class to an oligarchy rally. You know, she's against poor people, but she flies first class.
Well, she's not poor anymore, Jimmy. Come on. She's not poor anymore.
And that's very interesting.
Right,
well.
Right.
There are just so many things.
Oh, you know, I can't believe we missed this headline. You remember the Harley debacle with the beer and all that? Remember that whole deal? CEO of Harley Davidson. Is retiring. He's quitting this year. 5 years. He's 62 years old. He's leaving after having some slumping issues with the company. So. I think they wanted him out. They just let him ride it out a little
Deadly
bit.
Deadly strep infections have doubled in the United States. There's that bird flu thing. There's some things going on.
Yeah.
And again,
but
we got to trust this Kennedy, you know, to I haven't trusted any Kennedys that have been in there. So you can go back as far as you'd like to go.
That's interesting. And you go back far. So, you know,
yes.
I mean, I don't know firsthand. Eggs are down, though, and so is gas. So that's good.
Gas is a little bit down, not as much as it should be.
Well, okay.
The $60 a barrel should be down a lot more than it is. But anyway, I mean, it's just, you know, and Trump, again, he's like a spoiled baby. He needs somebody to kind of be governing him to a point.
Okay.
But he's never had, that's always been my, because people who are the total worshipers of him, you know, he can do no wrong. Yes, he can.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's just
nobody's perfect.
It's that disease we've talked about that's called borderline personality disorder.
Mm-hmm.
It's where you can only see the world in black and white. Things are either good and evil, black and white. And you got borderline personality disorder if you think everything that the Democrats do is wrong, that everything the Republicans do is right, and vice versa. I mean, there's somewhere in the middle. They pass a lot of bills in Congress that are bipartisan, most of them. You only hear about the 2 or 3 or 5% maybe that they fight over.
Mm-hmm.
The rest of them have to go through. It's the order of governing. A lot of it's just routine.
And you're right about that black and white syndrome. And there are a lot of things to me that are black, and there are a lot of things that are white, right? I mean, I can tell the difference.
Yeah, I'm that way, but I don't know that I should be that way, but I am that way.
I am too. My wife did something with me years ago. We were going somewhere. I can't remember where we were, and the car in front of us was swerving and braking and then going fast and slowing down. And I expressed some frustration. And I'm not going to tell you how I expressed it, but I did. And she said to me, well, let's play a game. Now, you know, she's always been real level-headed. You know her very well. And she said, let's play a game. And I said, what's the game? And she said, it's called What If. And I said, okay, let's play it. What if what? What if his wife's been in an accident, the guy in front of us, and he's trying to get to the hospital, and he's accepting. What if, what if, what if? And I've kind of adopted some of that, which created a gray area for me. I do have, again, a lot of black and white, just like you, but I also have a little different perspective sometimes, and sometimes I don't have it, but I need to look through that perspective, that what if. What if, right? What is it that I don't know that's happening on the other side? And I'm rushing to judgment right away instead of just going, okay, hold on. Let's hear the whole story.
Well, that's why you have trials, and hopefully you have, I mean, like I was looking here, this North Dakota mayor had to resign after he sent a nude video of himself to the city attorney.
Okay. Can we back up?
I mean, that was a screw up and it was a mistake, but you know, you can't unring that bell, that's an expensive mistake, but you got to quit, you know?
I have never made a nude video of myself, but I know that people do, because there's one right there. I mean,
I just, you know, Lord have mercy. You know, it's just Lord have mercy.
Right.
But
the name of this
there's
episode.
There's so many things going on, and I wish that we could have, you know, news people that would focus on a lot of things. Mm-hmm. I wish they would just try to tell. I think there's usually two sides to everything, and there used to be more of an effort to tell both sides.
Yeah.
And I would like to definitely see that again, but there's no market for it.
Gosh.
And again, and there was a point in this, it hasn't been that many years in broadcasting, because broadcasting is not that old.
Yeah.
When news was a loss leader, you did it as a public service. And then it started to be sponsored. You know, by you, they had the boards out there in front of them in the early evening newscast, and you know, and it wasn't overly commercialized.
Now,
we were probably better off. You know, we were probably better off without that.
Yeah, I mean, I do remember that. I do remember when the news was the news. It was there was no Preparation H ads. There were no. It was just the news. You know, now. I think the moneymaker is the news. I mean, I don't think.
Well, it became a profit center for the station. Yeah. But then broadcasting moved on after that. That's a whole nother day. So sports is the king of the world right now. And that's the thing getting all the attention.
Yeah.
The NCAA has a $3 billion settlement they just made. And that's a complicated story, but it's going to affect scholarships at universities and a lot of other things. You'll be hearing about that.
Does it have something to do with the NIL money that
they're offering? Yeah, it's going to all be, it's all kind of there where they're working on that.
Are they putting it back in the bag or are they?
They're kind of controlling it to some degree.
Okay. I think.
You know, a little bit. I think they're trying to get a handle on all that stuff.
Yeah.
And scholarships and all those things.
I think that's needed, Jimmy. I do.
No, it's needed, but it's just having a hard time figuring out how they're going to do it.
How?
Everybody knows it needs to be.
Yeah.
Needs to be done. So, anyway, we have a very exciting place that we live in.
Yes,
right
we do.
Now, and,
yes, we
there's
do.
So many issues out there. You just look at it and make it really gives you a headache.
The 1920s got nothing on us. I mean, we got all kinds of stuff.
We got more stuff going on than. You know, than an itch on an octopus.
This is true. I have to think about that one for a while. Until next week, when we do all of this one more time, I'm Derek Walker. He is
Jimmy Carter.
Good day.
Good day.